All right, open your Bibles this morning to we got to get two places. 1 Chronicles 17 and 2 Chronicles 6. 1 Chronicles 17 and 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I was watching it snow last night and I was thinking to myself, even though I got to enjoy that wonderful day this past week, I think it was about 68 degrees on that one day. And it was just beautiful. But then I started thinking, I was like, you know, we really do need some moisture around, you know. And so it's a blessing. 1 Chronicles 17, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 1 Chronicles 17, 2 Chronicles 6. We're going to begin by looking at 1 Chronicles 17. And then we'll look at 2 Chronicles 6, and then the rest of the time we'll just stay in 1 Chronicles 17 after that. But 1 Chronicles 17, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains.' Then Nathan said unto David, 'Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee.' And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from tabernacle, from one tabernacle to another.'" All right, now hold your place there and then look over at 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Now there in 1 Chronicles 17, God is having Nathan talk to David. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, the Lord's talking to Solomon. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Then said Solomon, The Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built an house of habitation for thee and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, For as much as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name." Now, when you read those two passages there, you've got where God's talking to David there in 1 Chronicles, and David, basically, he wants to build a house for the Lord. He wants to give a permanent foundation. Remember, up until the time of David, they were carrying the tabernacle. It was portable everywhere they went. That was in the wilderness, and then when they got into the land and all that, it was a portable thing. But then it turns out in over 2 Chronicles that Solomon was the one who would actually end up building the temple. You know, it's been said that in life everybody writes two books, and one of the books that they write is a person's dreams and ambitions, and the other book that they write with their life is the actual performance of what they ended up doing. And usually when it's all over with, when we compare what our life's ambitions and plans were to what actually happened, they don't always match up, do they? You know, I remember when I was young, I wanted to do certain things. And if you'd have told me when I was 18, 19 years old that I ended up being a Baptist preacher, I would have laughed you out of town. I mean, that just, you know, I had different goals and ambitions. And so when you look at the two, sometimes they don't add up. And sometimes people end up looking back at life and have regrets, and they look back and they have disappointments. Sometimes God says no to a dream or a vision or ambition or a plan, and we see that God said no to David. Now with David, there was a lot of ambition when it came to serving the Lord. David was a man who wanted to please God any way that he could. David knew that God had been dwelling in this tabernacle among men for so long, and God at that time did not have a permanent house to speak of to dwell in on the earth. So David dreamed of building a great temple for the Lord. That's what he wanted to do. He had great plans. I'm sure he thought about it at night. Boy, he's probably thought to himself, I know what I could do. I could build a permanent temple for God. And for that way, he could stay there entire time, and we don't have to move around. He had the ambition of doing that. And certainly building the temple would have been the climax of David's life and a monument to his service to God. But there was one problem. God said no. Even though David wanted to do this thing, and David thought it was a great idea, and he wanted to serve the Lord in this certain way, God said no. And you know, many times Christians get discouraged when God says no. In fact, it's human nature for us to get discouraged when we don't get things our way. You know, sometimes we'll pray and we'll ask God for things, and sometimes we make plans and say, you know, I want to serve God this particular way or in this fashion or doing this particular thing, and we pray the Lord open the door for us, but sometimes the Lord just doesn't open that door. Now, you know, and sometimes what happens is we get discouraged over that thing, but we shouldn't be discouraged because, after all, we are the servant and he's the master, amen? And so we are to do what he wants us to do, not what we want to do for him. We want to do what he wants us to do. And so sometimes, though, we get discouraged when God says no. Sometimes it's human nature to forget the good things, but remember the bad. To forget the compliments, but remember the criticisms. To forget the times that God has said yes to us and opened so many doors, but then only focus on the time that he said no. And sometimes we have these great ideas of what we're going to do for God. We make plans, we prepare, we put everything into making those things to materialize, but the Lord just never opens the door sometimes for those things. And sometimes the things that we plan just never come to pass. And when this happens, there have been people who have become bitter and people who have resentment. So in this passage today, in fact, probably in both these passages, there are some things that rather than getting bitter, when you have plans, say you want to serve the Lord, maybe you're here this morning, you say, you know, I've got some ideas of what I want to do for the Lord. I've got some ideas on some plans that I have for the Lord. Maybe you want to serve him in this particular way, or you want to do this, or you want to do that. You pray and say, Lord, open the door for this to happen. Lord, open the door for me to be able to serve you in this capacity. And you know, if the Lord doesn't open that door for you, then rather than getting bitter and resenting it and saying, well, I tried, and throwing up your hands and just quitting, there are some things that we need to do and remember, and that's what this passage is talking about. And one of the things that we need to remember is this, and that is a good idea is not always God's idea. Okay? There are a lot of Christians today who have good ideas on how they can serve the Lord. But that doesn't always mean that it's God's will for that to happen. Amen? I mean, like for this coming year, we've got lots of plans. We've been praying about it, and we've been asking the Lord to open a door about it. And you know, like we've got plans of doing a youth rally here in June here at this church, where other churches come in with their youth here, because we're going to be going on the 28th to Helena, and then we're going to have the youth come here sometime in June. That's the plan. Amen. But you know, God could still say no. God could still close that door. Now, let me ask you something. Is that a good idea? I think it is. And you say, well, boy, it makes sense. I mean, we get youth here. We could preach to them. They have a lot of fun. Sure, it's a good idea. But that doesn't always mean it's God's idea. God could have other ideas. Amen? And so what we're supposed to do as Christians, and what we're supposed to do as a church, is that we're supposed to follow the Lord's lead. In other words, we don't say, okay, Lord, we got all this plan, so you sit there and just enjoy it. No. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to pray about it and say, Lord, if you want us to do this, then open the door for it to happen. And if it doesn't happen, that's okay. Why? Because it's God who decides what happens, and it's God's will that we want to follow. Amen? And so a good idea is not always God's idea. Now, if you look here in this passage, there was nothing wrong with David's idea. I mean, if you think about it, it's a pretty honorable thing to say, hey, I'd like to build a temple for God so that way he has a permanent building here that he could be in. And so certainly building the temple for the Lord was a great vision and plan. I mean, it was needed. God was dwelling in a tent, and David wanted to build this temple in order to honor the Lord. So David's motive was good. I mean, that's what he wanted to do. And it was his motive was good. It was a good idea. Not only that, but, you know, God even gave the plans on how to build the temple to David. And so it seemed like everything was coming together there. But when it actually came time to let David do the building, God wouldn't let him do it. God said no. Now, later, God explains why David couldn't build the temple. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 3, it says this. It says, but God said unto me, talking to David, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. So God says, I'm not going to let you build this temple because you've been a man of war this entire time and you shed blood this entire time. Question. When David was out there being a man of war and shedding blood, was he doing God's will? Yes, he sure was. He was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. It was God who gave him the victory over the Philistines every time that they fought and he got the victory. It was God that there was behind him the entire time. And even though David was the one that was shedding blood in war, God says, because you did that, I'm not going to have you build the temple. What I'm going to do is have somebody else build the temple. And you know, if you think about it, God uses people for different things. Amen? You know, sometimes we look at this and we say, well, that's not fair. I mean, after all, he was only doing what God told him to do. And then when he wanted to build the temple, God says, no, you can't do it because you're a man of war and you've shed blood. Well, yeah, it's not that it's not fair. It's just the fact that God uses certain people to do certain things and other people to do other things. Why? Well, the truth of the matter is there are some people better at some things and been gifted that other people haven't been. Amen? And not only that, but if you think about it, you know, David was one who God had used for battle. But Solomon really wasn't one that God used for battle too much. He used him for building. You know, it's kind of the same way amongst Christians. There are some people that God uses to do certain things over here, and they use other people to do certain things over there. And you know, these people here should be jealous of these people. Or these people over here should be jealous of these people. Why? Because God is going to use you. God, listen, God prepares you as a Christian to do his will. He's not going to tell you to do something he's not going to prepare you to do. And so if you have a certain, you know, how many of you know that there are people who have certain demeanors and certain attitudes that's better for reaching certain people than other people are? You know, that's the reason a long time ago when I listened to preachers, I don't judge preachers. I don't. Because I hear some people say, oh, that guy's so boring. He just talks so monotone. But yeah, but then when you go to that church and you sit there and listen, there are people just saying, oh, isn't he lovely? Isn't he great? Why? Well, God's using him to reach those people. Amen? So what may not be appealing to you is appealing to somebody else. Everybody's different. And God uses people in different ways. And so therefore, if you say, listen, I want to do this for the Lord, and the Lord says, no, I'm not going to open the door for you to do that. You need to understand, it may be a good idea, but it doesn't mean it's God's idea. It may be, you may have a great motive behind it, but that doesn't mean it's God's will. And rather than getting bent out of shape and rather than being discouraged and saying, well, you know, I tried to do something for the Lord and he just never opens the door, rather than throwing up your arms and quitting, why don't you just consider that it's you who's the servant. It's you who say, Lord, if you would permit me to do this, then I'll do it for you. And if you don't, he is the boss, folks. He is the authority. It is his word that we're supposed to follow. Not necessarily our motives, not necessarily what we think is a good idea, but what God thinks is a good idea. And so, in David's life, God gave David a victory in battle. David being a man of war was exactly what God called David to be. And the fact is that David had shed much blood, and that's what David was called to do. But because he was a man of war, and he had shed much blood, God wouldn't let him build the temple. And it wasn't unfair at all. God chose somebody else who was better suited to build the temple. And so it was God's plan for David to be one thing. It was God's plan for Solomon to do something else. And so therefore, the temple ended up getting built. Now, so the first thing you need to remember is a good idea is not always God's idea, okay? Not that God ever makes bad ideas, but just because you have a good idea of how to serve the Lord doesn't mean that God's going to automatically just open the door and say, well, go ahead and do it. See, God has to be the one to make the final decision. That's one thing. Here's the second thing that you need to understand. That even though you may have a good idea of how to serve the Lord in a certain way, and you may make plans and you get everything together, you need to understand too that if God says no, and he doesn't let your plans materialize the way you had planned it to happen, you need to understand that God is aware of the intent of your heart. He is aware of the intent of your heart. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, that's the second place that we went. I told you we wouldn't be there, but we're going to go there anyway. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 8. I want you to look what God says. Now remember, David wanted to build the temple. And God gives him the plans and everything, and David gets all the materials together. But when it comes time to actually build the temple, God wouldn't let him do it. And David could have gotten discouraged right there. But here's what the Lord said to David. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart." In other words, what he's saying to David is this: David, I'm not going to let you build that temple, but I sure appreciate you thinking about me. I sure appreciate the motive that you have. I appreciate the fact that you want to please me and glorify me. It was a great idea. And even though I'm not going to let you do it, it was a good thing that was what you had in your heart. And may I tell you, that's something we need to remember too, is that we may have all these plans to do things for the Lord, and we may have, maybe you say, well, I'd like to maybe teach a Sunday school class, but the Lord hasn't opened the door yet for me to teach a Sunday school class. Or I'd like to do this maybe downtown, but the Lord hasn't opened up the door for that to happen yet. And may I tell you that if the Lord doesn't ever open that door, he understands your heart. And the motive that you have and the drive that you have to want to please him, even though that he doesn't open a door, he's pleased with your heart and that being what you want to do for him. In other words, how many of you understand that God knows everything that you're thinking? Amen? Amen. He knows your motives. I mean, if your motives are not pure, if your motives are selfishness, if you have some sort of, angle that you're trying to do something with, God is aware of all of that. But if you just plain just want to serve him and you've got these plans, but God never opens the door, he is aware of your heart, and he's aware of what you want to do. You know, there are people in this church right now that want to do things for the Lord. They want to. They're not able to. God hasn't opened that door for them. God has said no, but God is certainly aware that you want to serve him. He's aware of that, and it pleases the Lord. And so, I will tell you this, that you'll notice something in the Bible that to want to do it is the same as doing it in God's eyes. How many of you understand that? Now, that's both positive and negative. You know, David here, he wanted to build that temple. And if you look at it, God was pleased with David wanting to build the temple. And you read over here after Solomon built the temple, God was pleased that Solomon built the temple. Amen? I mean, so both pleased him, even though only one built the temple. It pleased God that David wanted to. Why? Because the intent of the heart is what either pleases God or displeases God. You remember when Jesus said over in Matthew 5:28 says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." You see, the intent of wanting to do something, God is aware of that. He's aware of that. And if it's not something that's good, then God is not pleased with that. But on the other hand, if it's something that's good, God knows the intent of the heart there too, and he's pleased with that. And so that's the reason why everybody thinks that sometimes we're a mess. You ever wonder why we just don't confess our sins the moment that we sin? Listen, the moment you sin, not only does God know your heart, your intent, he saw you do it, everything. He knew you were going to do it when you were thinking about doing it. Amen? And for people to act like, well, if God don't know it, maybe I'll just hold, maybe he hadn't noticed that I did this. Come on. God knew he was going to do it long before you ever did it. He knew what your intents were. He knew when you were thinking about it. He knew all of it. May as well just go ahead and confess it. Amen? And so we need to understand that God knows the intent of our heart. And even though you may want to serve him today and God says no, he appreciates the fact that you want to serve him. And that's the reason he said to David, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. So the first thing we need to remember is a good idea is not always God's idea. If he says no to the things you'd like to do, we also need to remember that God knows the intent of your heart. And then another thing you need to remember is that sometimes when God says no, it's not to deprive us of a blessing, but to drive us to a greater blessing. You know, I look back in my life, and the times that God said no, I sure am glad that he said no. Because later on, God said yes to something that was far better. And I couldn't have done it over here if he had let me do the thing over there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, that's something you need to remember, is that when God says no, it's not to say, well, listen, you want to be a blessing to me and I'm just going to deprive you of that. No, sometimes he's got something better for you. And may I tell you that when you look here at this passage with David, that's exactly what happened. Because David here did get a greater opportunity. Think about this. David wanted the temple as a monument for the Lord because he loved God. He was devoted to the Lord. And really, it was the best thing David could think of to do for the Lord. But God had something better in mind for David. And it was, you know, think about this. David could have built the temple. But you know what David ended up doing for the Lord? He ended up writing most of the Psalms. I mean, most of the Psalms in your Bible, David wrote those Psalms. And remember, today, you know, that temple that Solomon built, none of that temple is here today. Now, you go over to Israel and you look and you got the wall there where they sit there and they pray to. That's not Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple was destroyed completely many, 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 many years ago. That's actually Herod's temple. It was built during the time of Herod. It's a different temple. So when you look back at the temple that Solomon built, it's not there anymore. It's not there at all. Question, are those Psalms still here? Yes. In fact, the Bible says that his word will last forever. You know what that means? 10 million years from now, those Psalms will still be right there. They'll be still right there. Question, who got the greater blessing here really? Solomon got a great blessing. I mean, there's no doubt. He got to build the temple for God. Okay? But boy, when God said no to David, even though David wanted to build that temple, he said no because I've got something better for you, David. Something that's going to be far more blessing to me. Something that I'm going to hold up a whole lot higher than that temple. Do you know what the Bible says, that the only thing that God holds up higher than his own name? You know the name which is above all names? There is something that he holds up higher than that according to your Bible. You know what it is? His word. Wow, what a blessing that is to David to be able to write some of the Psalms under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that? I'll bet you right now, David's sitting there saying, boy, you know what, to build that temple would have been great. But boy, am I glad that God said no, because I got to write those Psalms for him. You know, sometimes we need to remember that even when God says no, it could be because there's a greater opportunity out there that he's got for you. A way that you could serve him better, a way that you can glorify him more. And even though you may have a great idea and your motive may be right, if he says no, don't get discouraged about it. God may have something that you could glorify him way more with. And so, certainly he had a greater opportunity. Not only that, but David also got the blessing of remembrance. I mean, if you think about it, over in turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and look at verse 7. 1 Chronicles 17, that's our first passage. I want you to look how God, not only did he give him a greater opportunity, but when David wanted to build this temple And God said no. Yeah, he got a greater opportunity. He got to write the Psalms. But I want you to notice what God says to him now. In 1 Chronicles 17, verse 7, it says, "Now therefore was thou, therefore thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from the following of the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and I have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth." And what he's saying here, God is reminding David that of where he was when God found him. He reminded David that he was a shepherd leading sheep. And then he reminds David that God let him go from leading sheep to leading his people, to be king. To this day, if you ask Israel who was the greatest king they ever had, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say David. David was. And God reminds David of all that he had done for him and how he showed David just how much that he loved, how God showed David how much he loved him. And sometimes we concentrate on what God has not done for us rather than all the wonderful things that he has done for us. When we pray and say, "Lord, open the door, and I want to serve you a certain way," and God says, "No, I'm not going to do that," and he never opens that door for you, sometimes we get discouraged and we say, "Boy, I just don't understand why the Lord isn't opening the door. This is such a good idea that I have. And I just don't understand why God's not opening the door." Well, yeah, but remember this, God's taken you a long way, hasn't he? I mean, think about this. Not only did he save your soul, but look how much he has been with you since then. Look all that he's done for you since then. Look how he's provided for you since then. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he wants. God knows what his will is. And listen, God's going to be with you regardless. May I tell you that you loving the Lord and you wanting to please the Lord pleases him. It pleases him. And it's kind of like, you know, I think about my kids sometimes and my daughter will make something for me that really it makes absolutely, I mean, I can't use it at all. You know what I'm saying? Like this past Christmas, she gave me some seashells. I love seashells, but let's face it, what am I going to do with seashells? You know what I'm saying? If I lay it somewhere, it's probably going to get broke. You know, she's like, "Boy, he's going to love this." But you know, there's probably other things that she could have given me that would have been a little bit more useful. Amen? And here's the thing. Am I happy that she gave it to me? Yes. You know, she had a good intent in her heart, and she loves Dad, and she wants me to have those seashells. That's wonderful. And you know what? I'm gonna commend her for giving me those seashells. Now, don't go telling her that I don't like the seashells, okay? I'm going to commend her to that. But I would have much rather had, you know, a new saw, you know, or something like that. Amen? Amen? And so if she had asked me before Christmas, "Dad, what can I get you? I've got this great plan. I'm going to give you seashells." I probably would have said, "Nah, don't give me any seashells. Think of something else." Am I happy because her intent? Absolutely. Was hers a great idea? Sure it was, but it wasn't my idea. How many of you follow me here? That's the way it works with God too. We got to remember that he's the Father, we're the Son. And even though we want to please him and we've got all these great ideas, sometimes those ideas aren't exactly what God wants. Sometimes, hey, he knows the intent of our heart. He knows that we want to do these things because we love him, but he is allowed to say no. Amen? I mean, after all, he is God. He can say no because really at the end of the day, it's up to him. What we need to do is just keep on wanting to serve him. And that will please him. It's the people who don't want to serve the Lord that he's displeased with. It's the people who don't think about giving God something, who doesn't come up with these ideas. Hey, listen, we need to pray about everything that we do. But listen, if you want to keep on serving the Lord and you can come to these ideas, keep on doing it because God knows he knows your heart. He knows your motive. He knows these things. But may I tell you also that we need to remember that regardless if he says no or yes, God's still with us. He still loves us. And he's never going to forget that. He's never going to forsake us. And so God reminded David that he had once been a lowly shepherd. He had once been out there tending the sheep, but then he would allow to become a king of a nation. God gave David a blessing of a greater opportunity, gave him a blessing of remembrance. And then God also gave David the blessings of the future. And the first blessing of the future that is promised to David is that David's family will be blessed because of David's obedience. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, that's our first passage, look at verse 11. It says, "And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall be an house." Now, when it talks about his seed, it's talking about Solomon. "He shall be build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it away from him that was before thee," talking about Saul. "But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore." Now, think about this. David says, "I want to build you this temple. I've got this great idea. I want to build you this temple. Boy, is it a wonderful idea. God, you're going to love it." And so God gives him the plans, tells him to get the material. But when it comes time to build it, God says, "Nope, I'm not going to let you do it." And you say, "Well, boy, I bet he was depressed." Yeah, probably until God said this that we just read. I don't know about you. But if God told me, "Bob, I'm not going to let you serve me this way, even though it's a good idea, I'm not going to let you serve me this way. I appreciate it. I mean, I know the intent of your heart. But this idea you have of how to serve me, I'm just not going to let you do it. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let your son serve me like that. I'm going to let your son," think about this. He said, "I'm going to let your son build the temple that I may dwell in." Am I the only one that thinks that's a pretty good thing? I mean, think about that. As a parent, you know what kind of good news it would be to me if I knew that the Lord was going to use my kids in a mighty way to glorify him. Isn't that what we all want as parents? Amen. And I'm thinking to myself, when I read that, I was like, my goodness. You know, now David wanted to build that temple, but to have his son be able to do it, I wouldn't be depressed about that. I'd be jumping for joy. Amen? Because we all want our kids to glorify God. We all want our kids to be mightily used of the Lord. We all want that as Christians. And so what God tells David here, he says, "Listen, David, I've used you. I've been with you. I've given you victories. I've been with you the entire way. And this is a great idea that you have, that you want to serve me by building this temple. But I'm not going to let you do that. Instead, I'm going to let you write the Psalms. When it comes to building a temple, I'm going to bless your son with that. And so you can go to your grave there," that's what he's talking about, "you can go to your grave knowing that your son is going to be greatly used by me." Boy, I'm thinking to myself, I bet at that time he was saying, "Man, I'm glad I never got to build that temple, because my son gets to build that temple." That's a good thing, isn't it? That's what, and sometimes we forget that, you know, God may not use you. He might just use your kids. He might just use your friends. What greater joy is it for a parent than for them to see their children being mighty used of God? And that ought to be a lesson to us, that if we'll just be obedient to the Lord and serve him, our children are going to receive some special blessings because of that. In other words, our children are going to have an advantage that children of lost parents may not have. That's the reason I tell people the importance of bringing your children to church. Listen, as parents in here, we would all would love to make the decision for our kids to receive Jesus Christ. I mean, if we could, we would. Amen? But we can't. Why? Because it's everybody's individual choice whether or not they're going to receive or reject Jesus Christ. But would you agree with me this morning that if there is a lost family over here with a child, and a saved family over here with a child. Would you agree if this saved family is in church, serving the Lord faithfully, doing what they're supposed to be doing, would you agree that the child over here has an advantage that this child over here doesn't have? Absolutely. Now, at the end of the day, that doesn't mean this child over here is going to get saved. Doesn't mean that at all. In fact, they could go hog wild and die in his sins. Why? We all have to make the choice to receive Jesus Christ or not. But you can't argue the fact that one has a little bit more of an advantage. Why? Because this kid right here, because their parents are faithful, this kid over here is hearing the gospel being preached. He's hearing the Bible being preached. He's hearing these things over and over and over and over. This child over here may not ever hear about Jesus Christ. So, listen, because of our obedience, our children reap some of that. They reap some of the blessings from that. That's what happened with David. Because David was obedient, because David was a man after God's own heart, because David wanted to please God, he wanted to serve God, and even though his ideas were great, even though God said no and knew his intent, because he was willing to serve the Lord, because he was willing to be faithful to the Lord, would you say that Solomon probably reaped some of the benefits from that? Can you imagine if David was a wicked king? That he never wanted to serve the Lord? You go in the Old Testament and you read about those wicked kings and read about their sons. Every now and then one would turn out okay. Over on the Judah side, over on the Israel side, none of them did. But over on the Judah side, after the kingdom was split, some of those kings were good and some of them were bad. And some of the bad kings had sons that did okay. But I would venture to say that none of them was ever blessed like Solomon was. None of them were. That Bible says Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. You ever read about how much gold was in that temple? You ever read how rich Solomon was? The guy, I mean, he had everything. To say that he was greatly blessed. Why was he greatly blessed? Because one of the reasons he was greatly blessed was because he had a dad that was faithful and loved the Lord. Now, may I tell you that the reason Solomon became the wisest king there ever was wasn't because of David. It's because he said, Lord, I need wisdom in order to be king over your people. And so God gave him wisdom. Amen? Wonder where he learned that he needed wisdom to lead his people. You think from a faithful king called David? You see the advantage that he has? And so sometimes we need to remember that if we'll just stay faithful, even though God may say no, even though he may say no to these great ideas that we have, we just got to remember if we'll just stay faithful, our children will reap from that. And so David received that as a future blessing. He also received another future blessing, and that is the future home with the Lord. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, look at verse 8 again. This is something I read and read and read, and I never saw it really until last night. In 1 Chronicles 17, look at verse 8. You're talking about a blessing. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from thee, from before thee. God's talking to David. And have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more, neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more, as at the beginning. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies, talking to David. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord, look what it says, will build thee a house. Now think about this. David says, Lord, I want to build you a house because, I mean, you're in this tabernacle and we're traveling around. And I got this great idea. I want to build you a house so that you can have a place to dwell. You know what the Lord said? He goes, I tell you what, David. I know you want to build me a house, and I know your intentions, and I really appreciate it. I'm going to have to say no. I'm going to let you write the Psalms, and I'm going to let your son Solomon end up building the temple. But you know, you want to build me a house? I tell you what, David, rather you build me a house, I'm going to build you one. How good is that? Would you say that God could probably build a house better than we can? May I tell you, that's true for you today. You know, it says over there in John chapter 14, he goes, I go to prepare a place for you. May I tell you, God's building it right now. Everybody in this room, if you're saved, you've got a place, and it's God who's preparing it right now. So when, you know, you may have these great ideas and things you want to do for the Lord, and he may say no. He may not ever open the door. But listen, don't worry. He knows the intent of your heart. He's pleased with it. There are going to be blessings with you just wanting to serve him. God's going to bless you for that. And may remember that not only is he going to be with you down here, but he's going to build a place for you. He's building a place for you right now. Now, that's a, I'll tell you this, I'll bet you David probably after all that, can you imagine how happy he had to be? I mean, think about the blessings he received by just wanting to do something for the Lord. He said, I want to build a temple for you. God said no, but because you wanted to build me a temple, I'm going to bless your son. He's going to end up building it. I'm going to bless you. You're going to end up writing the Psalms. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to continue to be with you, and I'm going to give you your victory all the way up until the time that you die. And not only that, but at the end of the day, I've got a house waiting for you when you come to me. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Now, listen, why in the world would you get all distraught and get all, you know, bitter because God says no? Don't you understand he is the boss? Don't you understand he's the one, he's the final authority? And don't you understand all the blessings that you've got coming? And more so, if you'll just keep on staying faithful to him. Even though he may say no on some things, that's okay. Think about something else to do for the Lord. Make sure you pray about it and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Open the door, what you have me do? And you'd be amazed. I'll tell you this, folks. When I was, my family had me going to church the entire time I was growing up. They did. But even then, I never dreamed not one time I'd ever be a Baptist preacher. I never dreamed at one time I would ever be able to lead people to the Lord. I just went to church because that's what we did. And I enjoyed it. I did. But you know, because of the faithfulness of a mom and dad, of a grandmother and a grandfather, because that I was willing to just, you know, hey, listen, you know, I remember when I first got in a ministry, I was ready to pastor anywhere. If anybody had said yes, I'm like, I'm there. But the Lord said, nope, 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 nope. And then finally he said yes. And then finally he said yes again. And may I tell you, that's been the greatest blessing of my life as a pastor. To be able to be your pastor right now, every day I'm thinking, Lord, thank you so much for this. Thank you for not sending me where I wanted to go years ago. Amen? Amen. Why? Because God knows more than we do. And he's probably got some greater blessings in store. It's okay when he says no. Amen? Amen. Father, we